So, giving you a heads up, today's conversation, I'm just dissecting the AFC and NFC Championship games. I was hoping to have a guest on this evening. I did not, so I kind of just went through myself some notes. I actually watched and talked through the first quarter and a half of the AFC title game, watched it live and dissected it. Then I kind of took a step back, took some notes, and looked at it through the third and fourth quarter lens, and then again talked at the beginning and end of the NFC title games. So that was a fun day. It was a fun day of football. I hope you guys watched it. So here I am talking about the AFC and NFC title games. So I'm here right now. Watching the AFC title game, watching it live. Got the sound down, so I can't hear any analysis. So this is my analysis over what's going on. Going to talk a little bit live during the games today. Things I've noticed so far. Jerick McKinnon, if you do not pick him on your Survivor Pool fantasy elimination thing for players, you're an idiot. I actually picked him up for this round because I actually had Aaron Jones, because I actually thought Green Bay and Kansas City would make it to the final, to the Super Bowl, but they didn't. So picking McKinnon for this round, because I do think that the Chiefs will win. And I actually picked up a bunch of Rams, because I think a lot of people are going to go default 49ers. I picked up a bunch of Rams, or they picked up Mahomes and a bunch of the Chiefs just to get points. Anywho, noticing so far, what I'm seeing right now with what the Bengals are doing with Chase, they are going to try to turn him into their Debo, I think. They're going to run him. They're going to run him ragged, or maybe like a Robert Woods, the way that the Rams use him when he's healthy. A lot of reverses. They're going to try to get him the ball any way possible, many times possible during the game. I'm seeing that now, how that's kind of going to start. And because they're recognizing that he's different, to use the term. He is different. He's a different player. The way he plays, the way he interacts is such, with so much talent. He's strong, he's fast, he has that extra gear. Not Tyreek Hill extra gear, but he can get away from safeties, especially if you put him inside, he can get around linebackers. If you're able to get him on the edge, like on some sort of reverse, some sort of carry. And he's strong enough, again, he's not Deebo Samuel strong, but he's strong enough to where he actually has the ability to get people off of him and put his head down and get extra yards. So I just really see that right now, that they're really, Cincinnati's going to really use Chase in a multitude of ways. He is going to be a very, very big, important player. You know, another thing I keep noticing is they always mention Cincinnati gave up 9 sacks to Tennessee last week. And I keep hearing Edward Rooney 9 times, because that's like the stat. So I'll just put that GIF up every time someone mentions that. 9 times. Because that's all I hear. It's kind of funny. I understand Cincinnati's offensive line isn't good, but it's good enough right now to keep Joe Burrow upright. And he's good enough right now that I don't think it's going to matter. The Lions, Kansas City, -7. I actually think the Bengals are going to cover. I think it's going to be maybe a late backdoor cover late in the game. Kansas City maybe wins like 33-27, something like that. Cincinnati gets a late score, maybe try to get an onside kick to then tie the game or something. I think the Kansas City defense is good. Helps that Mathau is back to really help, because I think the numbers last week for Davis for the Buffalo was very skewed, because Mathau went out in the first drive and Davis basically went off because the Chiefs decided to double digs, and then Mathau would have been there kind of roaming the back end, keeping Davis at bay, and they basically dared Allen to go to Davis the whole game to win or attempt to win. And he did, and it worked. Davis had, you know, the career game, 200-plus yards, 4 TDs. So we'll see what happens this week. Mathau being back truly, truly helps the Kansas City secondary. But we'll see again, because the Bengals might quietly have the best three receivers in the league that no one talks about, with Higgins, Chase, and Tyler Boyd, who is really good, who was a very good two with Higgins, but now they all drop down one. So you have Higgins as your number two, Boyd as your number three, with Chase basically becoming number one, because he's, you know, he literally is one of the top receivers of the league going into next year. So this is a great receiving core with the Bengals, as we're waiting for commercials right now during this fourth down stop, possibly a remeasurement. I guess Kansas City's asking for a measurement. So very excited right now. I think these are going to be great games. You know, again, we've had great games. We've been very fortunate to have great games over the past 3 weeks of playoffs. And that's what makes the NFL so interesting, because of that word parity. Parity does exist in the NFL because of the salary cap, because of drafting, because coaching really does matter. You know, in college, as much as we all love college football is about the Jimmy and the Joes. Sometimes not about the coaching X and O's. So what do we got? We're still at fourth as we're coming back. Nope, they measured it. It is a first down. That's huge for Kansas City. Cincinnati's front four is good. I don't know if they're going to be able, though, to stop the back end. Then again, you kind of don't stop the back end against Kansas City. Here goes McKinnon again. This could be dangerous. If they're able to run McKinnon and Mahomes doesn't have to go off, it's going to be a rough day for Cincinnati. The old adage, run the ball, all that stuff. It's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science. But it's one of those things that's very, very unique. Because you rarely take the Kansas City offense to a whole other level if they're able just to sit and run the ball. Because in play action, there's deficit. This goes into like the efficiency plays. This is easy pitch and catch right now. And everything is working for Kansas City. Even though it is the first drive, Cincinnati is getting its feet wet. But this really could be a lesson type thing. The only difference is, I don't think this is like a one-time thing. I really feel this kid, Burrow, just as like everyone says, I'm not, speaking anything else that other people have not noticed. He is really good. He is the truth. Cincinnati has a chance now. All these all the young quarterbacks from the AFC, with Herbert, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, even Lamar, all the young quarterbacks from the AFC. So it could be very interesting. And now Mahomes is running. First and 10, he's running. He just picked up 12. Yeah, this could be very interesting. So my prediction of Cincinnati covering. But again, first drive. Kansas City, as you probably maybe unaware of, or some people weren't, Kansas City had 14-point leads a few times in the Week 18 matchup, in which Cincinnati was able to win. So again, Kansas City unfortunately has those moments where their offense goes weirdo. Ironically, usually they start slow. Usually they've started slow recently, and their second quarter is where they really take off on teams. McKinnon's running tough. McKinnon's running like the guy who who should have been the guy a long time ago, and they kept, I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but they picked up McKinnon late, and when CEH got injured again, he's getting to be that guy that McCaffrey status, not McCaffrey talented, but CEH is getting to be the guy to where, is he going to be available? He's already had a little bit of fumbling issues, and now you just worry about his ability is going to be availability. Second and four, quick pop pass to Hill, and who just runs around, gets first down. So we're at first and goal at the 10. First and goal at the 10, first drive. You hope this isn't like a long day for Cincinnati. You want this to be a game. Most people with intelligence know why this is the early game and not the late game. You know why this was the game they decided to put on at the noon Pacific window, because they think in that 49ers-Rams game is going to be close. First and goal for Mahomes. Check down. See, he's actually staying within the offense. Sidearm throw, and he just hits as that Pringle. Pringle just scored. No, it was Hill. Hill in the corner. Yeah, don't have the sound on. I'm purposely kind of talking so I'm getting my own analysis of what I see. Mahomes actually isn't going off script right now, which is really crazy that he's not. I know that was a complaint that a lot of people were noticing, is he was not taking what they gave him. He was really kind of looking for the big play. He's really just letting things develop right now. And, of course, little sidearm throw back corner of the end zone. You know, the arm angle thing is just ridiculous. The fact that he's able to do that so easily, because he's a baseball player, former baseball player, I'm not going to lie. Elway did that too, former baseball player, had that arm angle stuff. So Mahomes has that arm angle craziness. And, you know, shortstop throwing it across the diamond right there. It's a, basically this would look like a play in the hole, picked it up, threw it across. So Kansas City makes it look easy. Now this is the test for Cincinnati. They have to withstand the blow playing on the road. They have to withstand the blow right there. Okay, getting ready for the answer right here. Cincinnati's got the ball. Very excited to see. You know, it's an exciting time in Vegas right now. Realizing we have the NHL All-Star Game, we have the Pro Bowl, we have the Senior Bowl, and we have the draft. Man, we're sports crazy. You don't think they're trying to put an NBA team here? And I know Oakland really wants to come here for baseball. That would be really exciting, because I might have to talk with some people and split some season tickets. I do like how Cincinnati's not going to panic. I think Zach Taylor, and you know, a few people have brought this up. I noticed it. Four offensive coaches are in the Final Four, because that's where the game's going. Four offensive guys. They're not offensive. They could be offensive. I don't know. I don't know the person. But they're four offensive coaches, and that's where the game is. And, you know, what, three defensive coaches just got hired, I do believe. No, one was the Bills. Giants got the Bills offensive coordinator, which was smart. Got to go offense, man. Defense doesn't matter anymore. You know, defense almost really is the Jimmys and the Joes, you know, in the NFL. But offense are the scheming. What are you going to do? How are you going to attack this? How are you going to attack me here? How are you going to stress the defense? Where are you going to stress the defense is where it all is right now. And it's, you know, if you're not an offensive mind and can't make the defense worry about some things, you know, that's the key thing. The offensive coach and the quarterback. The offensive coach, quarterback. Joe Burrow's going to do that. Bengals are here for the say. You know, they didn't win the AFC North a little bit by luck, but talent, you know. They won games. Here you go. Burrow's going to take off. They went man. Kansas City went man. Smart. Kid saw it. Took off. So Kansas City went man there on that third down, which basically backed out everyone. Burrow recognized man because, of course, he had the pressure in his face. Spagnuolo should have spied or really kind of had maybe a man under to keep the eyes in the backfield just in case for that reason. But that's a huge play by Cincinnati, because you can't go three and out twice in a row. You got to get the ball. You got to move. Cool Joe. Reminds me of another Cool Joe. Played in San Francisco many, many moons ago. Went to Notre Dame. Very Cool Joe. Cincinnati has got to establish that run game. That D-line for Kansas City has really, really grown and gotten better over the end of the season, through the end of the season. I should know, I picked him up for my fantasy league, and they almost single-handedly got me to the championship the way they played defense over the past few weeks. Of course, I probably would have lost the way they played against that Cincinnati game in Week 18, but it is what it is. They carried me to the semifinals. So Bengals have to make it to where play action works, and they can use Chase in many different ways. So Chase going to the slot right here on the second down and nine. And then they just dump it back to Mixon, who's also going to get some mismatches on the linebackers. Brings up third and manageable right here, third and two. Now this might be four down territory for Zach Taylor. So they might be smart right here and figure out how can they get this point or get this first down. You cannot, and they stress, cannot give the ball back to Kansas City without at least getting a field goal. Even though a field goal isn't seven, you got to answer with points. Kansas City is going to score. They're not going to go empty a lot of drives, but they will have a tendency to go empty for about a quarter and a half. Pass out to Azuma. No, it's Boyd. Great read. Got it. Okay, here we go. Two first downs in a row. Cincinnati's moving a little bit. Kids are smart. Kid's smart, man. Joe smart. Cool Joe. Ironically, it's almost like both teams have to do the same thing in that they have to keep the ball away from the other quarterback. Because even though Burrow's only a second year, he still can do damage. You know, Kansas City defense is better, but it's not, you know, elite, elite. And if you actually look at here, the elite, elite defense is probably the Rams. Oh, up in the air. That could have been dangerous. Azuma tipped it up. That could have been bad. That could kill. That could have been bad. Tips. Tip passes for interceptions. Those go on the quarterback, but they're really not his fault. But if you're a defense, you take him, you take advantage of him. But that fell to the ground. Second down and 10. It's a good read, though, too. You had him. And that's the thing you're going to find. And, you know, teams make plays. Winning teams make plays. In this situation, and all these situations, the winning teams make plays. Big teams, championship teams make plays. Second and 10 from the 50. So this has got to be four down territory unless they get a big sack. Even though it's second down, that they have to. They're going into plus territory pretty soon. They backed out of the blitz, brought up from the other side. Boyd over the middle. Kid sees it. The kid sees what they give him. Kid sees the defense. They faked the blitz on one side, brought it from the other side, and dropped out. He read it to his left side as they faked the blitz from the right, the pressure. Third and five, but this is going to be four down territory, so, you know, I don't believe, unless there's a sack right here, which there could be. I mean, we understand how bad the Cincinnati defense is, or the line of Cincinnati offensive line is. Get rid of it. Great route. Chase under. No, Boyd. See, cut. So what Boyd's doing, you can see Zach Taylor knows they're giving Chase kind of like the Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson treatment where he can hurt you. And so they're using him. They're putting him one-on-one on the other side right here, deking him, and then leaving Boyd with the safety underneath, and it's just working right now, and that's smart. That's what it gives. Make them stress. Make them stress the defense where they're gonna have to play zone, or they're going to have to maybe not be able to bracket Chase. And here's Mixon, who was the third leading rusher in the league. That's a hard run. See, yeah, in Cincinnati, here's an answer right here. Answer drive for Cincinnati, but now you're at the point where you have to get seven. Now this isn't a field goal drive. This is a point to where we're going to get seven and show them we're for real. So this is what the Bengals can do. The Bengals can win this game. They shouldn't, but they can. And I only say shouldn't is because Kansas City's favored by seven. So that's more, of course, than just the home favorite, you know, 3 points. They shouldn't win, but they can. Been chased in the backfield. Fake throwing it to him. They fake the screen. Back of the end zone, throw it away. Kansas City ran that. So they faked the little swing to Chase. They wanted to go back to the screen to Mixon. And then Kansas City pretty much did not buy anything. They stayed zone. They stayed home. They used their eyes. Yeah, they were trying to run didn't work. And even the middle that was closed. So, hey. All right. Live the fight again. You know, I'm looking at this. Cincinnati almost need to treat this like a bowl game. Or, you know, one of those, you know, big-time games to where the underdog. And I would not be surprised Cincinnati has a few more trick plays, quote. Very unusual things. I mean, you have to, it's so late in the season. You have to put stuff on tape, you know, that's not on film. Higgins drops. Did he try to only catch that with one hand? I think that's where you got to high point the football. Higgins got to turn and high point this football. Well, that should have been PI. His arm was held. Felton got away with one there. Felton's holding his arm. Yeah, Felton's holding his arm. That's why he only could use his left. They missed that one. That hurts. Because that was a great throw. Higgins couldn't get his second arm up because it was held. You know, that's one where you almost have to watch, you know, he doesn't play with one arm, yet he only used one, and throw that on Sear, just instinct as a ref. That was a miss. And Chase missed that one. So here we go. As I was saying, you have to get six. You can't settle for three. You did the kind of the fancy trick play. Ooh. Playing physical. We're going to play physical with these receivers. Kansas City is going to get this. This is like an NBA final game where you have the veteran team that knows how to play physical in the NBA finals against the upstart team who's usually, you know, flashy, not used to being pushed around. You know, things don't get called in the NBA finals that a lot of teams are used to. So I'm seeing that right now on those two last pass plays where Higgins had his arm grabbed. You got to fight through it. Chase kind of let the DB push him out and kind of have his hands on him as he got his head around. And I see that as very much how those NBA Finals games are played when the rough, aggressive team knows they can get away with stuff and the younger team doesn't. 7-3, almost the end of the first quarter. So first quarter goes quick. Kansas City keeps going. Again, 7 yards on first down. McKinnon running tough. Shoot, man. Keep McKinnon. They like so many backs. I wouldn't say they'd trade CEH, but they might. They were able to rush that play on that. Getting around the corner. They rushed that throw. He couldn't wait for Hill to clear and get open. Ironically, that's his first miss of the day. Mahomes was 6-for-6 till that pass. This 3rd-and-3, I don't want to say we know it's huge, but it really sets the tone. You hold him to a field goal here, that's big. Field goal attempt here, that's big. They keep going, they score a touchdown, 14-3. Because again, the answer is, you know, the touchdown, not the field goals. Mahomes has time, and this is McKinnon running. Too much time. I was listening to an interesting podcast, I guess, wearing a heart monitor of the... So Mahomes wears a heart monitor to track him, you know, the AWS stuff. And I guess this was last week during the game against Buffalo, the knockout, the title fight duel. So apparently, Mahomes' heart rate slowed, actually, when he had the ball, when he was in control. And when it was up when he didn't, of course. You know, now we can go a whole other construct of control and how control does not exist or does it exist and everything. But it's just very interesting how he was, because when he didn't have control, as in wasn't playing, he was all hyped up. But once he had control, he was fine. So unique, so interesting. So Kansas City's putting Chase in the background. Cincinnati's doing, they're following what Kansas City's doing, putting Hill everywhere, and how the Rams put Woods in the backfield. McKinnon running for three. So we got 3rd-and-1. They'll go 4th down right here. They'll go for it. So this is, Andy Reid's not going to hold back. So it's 3rd-and-2. Andy Reid is not going to hold back right here. They're going to go for it. Again, unless it's a sack, they're going to go for it. They're going to go for the touchdown. Eric Bieniemy. Can that guy get an NFL job? At least get an interview? I don't know what's going on with that, because this guy's offense is pretty legit, and I would give him a chance. 3rd-and-2. Kelsey's only had one catch. Pringle goes in motion. He's looking left. Fakes left. This is where he's improvising. He probably had it. Now he's looking for the knockout punt. Cincinnati has him chasing. And there's Kelsey. It's too simple. I mean, Mahomes, though. I mean, Mahomes is running around like chicken with his head chopped off. That is so frustrating for a defense when you got this quarterback who's just making all these things happen, making all these plays happen with his feet, keeping his eyes downfield, and then Kelsey just able to run free. You can't expect cornerbacks to hold up, you know, that long. You can't. But we can't, as fans right now, we cannot assume that the game is over. Anything can happen. It is the NFL. Anything can happen. But they're going for the knockout punch. They're going to show their dominance. They want that second Super Bowl in 3 years. Okay, first half analysis. Took a break as I was watching the game, kind of really taking some notes. Again, watching it without sound, so I'm not being influenced. But I think all of us can agree that play at the end of the first half was greedy and arrogant, which is how the Chiefs play. They play that they are going to be able to be better and score anytime, score at will. But 11-point lead over 14 could be interesting. They do get the ball first in the second half, so I will say there could be a reason why they basically felt, well, we'll get it again, because they're basically moving the ball at will right now, and I hate to say that against Cincinnati, because I think Cincinnati's trying. I'm not saying they have no chance, but they're moving the ball at will against Cincinnati, and because of that, I do believe they felt they were going to score no matter what. Key, you know, Mahomes went for one quick little play, threw it behind the line of scrimmage. You know, your best guy on offense, Hill, make a guy miss, get in. Didn't happen. But, you know, it could come back to bite them. If they go three and out right here, Cincinnati gets the ball and scores, it's a totally different game, as we all know, because, again, the games are like that. That play by P. Ryan, you almost wonder, though, you know, the score was good. But it's very sad that the defensive coordinator, couldn't do anything to really, really stifle Kansas City right there. They couldn't find some sort of pass rush. You have to kind of push Mahomes in the middle of the pocket, not let him escape to the outside, and able just to hit Hill down the field. Now, they were lucky that they didn't get him to score, but it's a point of there's doesn't seem to be a win. You know, Kansas City hasn't punted once yet. That was the only victory they got, was right there. And you're just Cincinnati again, playing with fire. Dangerous territory, playing with fire. Sooner or later, you wonder how long they're going to be able to hold up. Mahomes hasn't thrown an interception in the AFC title game, crazy enough. You know, in his history of the AFC title game. Can't bank on that. They have to get pressure on him. Even though they're getting pressure, he's running around like a chicken with his head chopped off and making things happen. I do like how Cincinnati is staying within their game plan, and this is going to be the game right here, the adjustments. What are you going to do going into the second half? What are you going to do going into third quarter? Can Cincinnati find one to two defensive stops and give Burrow a chance? I do think it's smart that they're getting Higgins involved. He is going to win over the middle of the field. I don't know if many fans realize, because he plays in Cincinnati, how big Higgins is. He did play at Clemson, but I don't know how many people actually wanted to enjoy him at Clemson while he was there. But I don't know if people realize how big he was and how big he is and how big of a threat he is. Good mix of size and speed together over the middle. And he can be extremely dangerous. They have to find ways to keep getting Chase involved, giving him tosses. As I mentioned earlier, he can be their Debo, and they have to kind of use him like their Debo. They have to force him the ball somehow in either quick screens, you know, throwing the ball backfield, getting him more involved, maybe down the middle of the field, something. But they have to find ways. They can't just let Kansas City totally take him away. I don't think Kansas City will let him go for 260 like he did the last time. But they have to do something to get him the ball in space. So we'll see what happens as we enter this third quarter. Quite unique, quite interesting start, and a very exciting end of that first half. Cincinnati dodged a bullet, but Kansas City does get the ball here first, and they might be going, all right, we made a mistake, and they're going to try to get back at it. Cincinnati has to have some sort of defensive stop plan right here to really kind of move this game forward on a positivity. So let's just watch this second half and enjoy it. I really do hope Burrow's got something to answer at this moment in time. Really hope he answers and moves forward, gets this team in scoring position, gets his team to roll, puts pressure on Kansas City. That's where it comes down, is can you put pressure on Kansas City to have to make plays? That's where you start putting Mahomes in that area. Is he going to still be patient? Is he going to play within the offense? Or is he going to try to get it all back on one throw and one play? And if they can get, they score, they can stop a score, the Kansas City drive right here, and get a score, they might start putting that pressure that Mahomes might feel to, you know, make that play, get forward, do something such as that. So here we go. This is where it gets interesting. Third quarter right here. I mean, Mahomes has been almost perfect. Crazy. Other than almost that last play, the end of the first half, he's pretty much been perfect. So we'll see. Let's get excited. Let's enjoy this. 30 minutes to go. Wow, what can you say? Those of you who are watching that game wanted to take a lot more notes instead of talking the whole entire second half. Watching this, you know, that's four AFC title games at home for Kansas City, if I remember correctly, and they're only 2-4. And, you know, you look at the drives at the end of the half and the end of the game. Mahomes got too cute again. Too cute again. You know, the two sacks. I mean, they almost fumbled right there. They're lucky they almost didn't lose it right there on the last play before the field goal. But they did it. Congratulations to Houdet Nation. My boss is from Cincinnati. I was texting him during the game. And he's freaking out. I'm wondering if he's going to take tomorrow off. Be hilarious if he did. I told him he has my is that Icky Woods? Icky Woods just showed up on the screen congratulating Joe Burrow. We've got to see some Icky Shuffle by Joe Burrow right now. Wow. 18 points down. Biggest comeback. How do you guys not love the NFL? I know people why don't like the NFL because it consumes them and consumes people, but it's so amazing. No one would have pictured this. No one would have thought of it. You know, but again, they've held Cincinnati basically scoreless. Cincinnati's held Kansas City basically scoreless in the second half the past few games. They just shut them down. Good adjustments. And Kansas City's offense does this. Kansas City offense goes weirdo. They just can't put it together. Everything looks smooth. What, Hill didn't have a catch in the second half. They were still trying to pound the rock effectively with McKinnon, and they just couldn't find that rhythm. And that happens. It's almost like the halftime killed Kansas City, especially not scoring. And of course, that really hurt not scoring because they wouldn't need those points. They probably would have had to win. You know, I talked in the beginning, I took Cincinnati with the points. They ended up covering and winning the game outright. Would have been a great little money line bet if you took it. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? Cincinnati's for real. He got there. Cincinnati got there. They're coming to LA. That will be interesting. you know, what else you're looking at through that game. I really feel the adjustments that Cincinnati made the second half were great. They found ways to get Ja'Marr Chase open. They found ways to get Higgins to not just dominate, but to take over the game, which allowed Chase to get some one-on-one matchups down near the red zone, and of course, on his touchdown. They really were able to do that. Then the two-point play, I was against two-point play. I was one of those don't chase points. And I was wrong, because that means the field goal at the end of the game by Kansas City would have won it, not tied it. So I was wrong. I would have not chased points. But, you know, it's probably smart looking at the situation, looking at the time and the score, because what happened there is after the Bengals scored, they only got the ball back one more time. They would take the field goal to take the lead. And, of course, if the field goal took the lead out 23-21, they end up losing the game. So, again, right, that's why those guys get paid the big bucks. Those guys get paid the big bucks to make those decisions. Of course, it's all, you know, it's all hindsight, second-guessing. If they didn't get it, you know, everyone would come on. It was dumb to try and tie it right there. So, you know, that's why those coaches take those risks, make that money, make those decisions. Very, very great, exciting game. Not necessarily all the well. I mean, I really feel Kansas City played 18, 20 minutes of football really well. And then that was it. And you can't blame, I know you would say about the defense. The defense kept Kansas City giving them the ball back. It was the Kansas City offense went quiet, and that's what happens. That's happened all season. Mahomes gets out of the playbook. He gets off script. Though when they start going man under and take away Kelsey or take away Hill on his slant routes and then doing the safeties over the top, and he can't get Hill deep, he can't get Hardman deep, and they're just not allowing him to throw it, you know, and wait, making him be patient, and that's what happened. They made him be patient, and that's what happened near the red zone down there. They made him be patient, and he was too patient, waiting for the big play instead of just, you know, almost tucking it and running or throwing it away earlier. I thought the run on that first down, I think they should have basically ran it twice. And they were getting a push. Cincinnati was kind of over it. I think they could have, Cincinnati might have let him even score a touchdown, and then you basically put the ball in Burrow's hands and see if they're going to tie it or get the win. I mean, say get the win with the touchdown. I think that would have been the fair and safe way to do it if I was Kansas City. But they were going for it. They were trying to really establish the will, establish the dominance, go for that win. I think it was a little bit also ego, realizing, hey, we can score. We should be able to score. Why can't we score? Try to get the touchdown. And it bit him. I almost literally lost it with him dropping that ball. Cincinnati recovers that fumble. It doesn't matter. So really, really exciting game. I love how cool Joe Burrow is. He really reminds me a lot of Montana. Really, I mean, again, he's a cool Joe. And he doesn't get up, doesn't get too down during a game. Very steady, very even keel. He realizes and recognizes things. Cincinnati's a dangerous team. Of course, they're the team. They probably want to play next week. The 2 weeks off are going to be interesting. Them adjusting to the Super Bowl, because it's a very young team. Zach Taylor taking the team to the Super Bowl. This is kind of really the first taste of success he has had as a coach with this team as a head coach. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they adjust. On the other side, whoever wins the NFC, you would think would be favored, because both Shanahan and McVay have been to a Super Bowl, even though they both lost. They would know how to prepare their team. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, right now, this moment in time, you can't bet against Cincinnati clearly thinking they're going to get blown out in the Super Bowl with everything that's going on. It should be an exciting finish on Sunday. I just really surprised how mediocre Kansas City has played in the AFC Championship games at home. It's almost as if last week took so much out of them, and they kept rolling through the first 3 to 4 drives of today's game, and then they just ran out of gas. You know, they just ran out of gas. So, congratulations to Cincinnati. It was so exciting. The checkdowns for Cincinnati, Mixon ran hard. I think going unnoticed a lot is what Mixon did. I think it's really going unnoticed how hard he ran, how well they were able to get the running game going consistently. Kansas City was defensive line was spent. I thought Melvin Ingram single-handedly took over that game, causing the sack and then pulling him out of touchdown range, making them take the field goal to almost save the game. But, you know, again, it only can last so long. You only can last so long if your offense continues to come off the field and not give the defense a rest. You know, basically change the tenor. All the things that were happening wasn't affecting Cincinnati because they were still able to stay in the same striking distance. Even after they were down 18, they tied the game and then took the lead. So they were able to stay in that striking distance. They were able to stay within their own composure and who they are. I thought the only reason why the interception was, quote, bad in overtime was because once Cincinnati got the ball, they just needed a field goal to win. It's basically kind of like a punt, a short punt. The only thing that stunk was it didn't matter. Cincinnati didn't have to give the ball back. A field goal wins it, and it did win it. So crazy. So crazy. A lot of things. And you start wondering, are the Chiefs going to have to blow it up a little bit? A lot of those egos, you know, stop being fed. So, you know, they lost in the AFC title game in their first run. They lost on that overtime game to Brady. They won it the second year. They lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay last year. Now they lost the AFC title game. You start seeing teams, the armor chip away. You start seeing the greatness happen. New England will not happen again. That will not happen again. I don't care what people say. The relationship, the functionality, how those teams were so intricate and organized. You might have a bunch of teams win and continue to go to playoffs and continue to get to AFC title games here or there every other year. I don't think you're never going to see a New England again. And again, what New England did was amazing, because Kansas City just fourth straight AFC title game, and they're only 2-4, and they've had all four games at home. So it's very, very interesting, very, very focused to what really takes a lot of focus, I should say, to understand how great that was and to step back. And, you know, ironically, the GOAT retired yesterday, and I think he's smiling, kind of making sure everyone sees how hard it was, what he did. So about to enjoy the NFC title game. I am going to say LA. I actually had LA and the Chiefs. You know, hey, maybe we'll get a rematch of the 88 Super Bowl. You know, 49ers and Bengals. What can you do, right? Enjoy the game. I'll be back after the final of the NFC title game. Well, coming back after two amazing games today, the underdog covered in both. So again, Vegas knows something. That's why there's a lot of big hotels in Vegas and a lot of poor people that walk away. But I hope you guys enjoyed the game as much as I do. That was a true battle. 49ers and Rams they just don't like each other. They don't. They play like it. They play hard. They play physical and... wow. So I did a different approach in this one. I decided to really focus specifically on kind of like note-taking throughout the entire game. I took some note-taking. Felt it was easier than instead of kind of talking as the game was going on. It would be a little bit more effective for me to kind of attack it in that perspective. So I'm excited to discuss this game, but I really felt the championship games were both great, well played. And with that, let's kind of begin. I did not think the 49ers were going to be able to run the ball, and they didn't. And I really think in the end that hurt them when they really had that 10-point lead and had the opportunity to grind the game away, and they couldn't do it. I think that really affected them on the long run as the game moved forward and as, of course, we moved towards the finish. They did, which I felt was interesting, really try to get Ayuk involved, even though Debo's the big weapon, who's the pure Swiss Army knife, and I don't know, he might be the best or most versatile player in the league. So amazing to watch him play. he is the true Swiss Army knife right now with what's going on and how the game is being played. But they really got Ayuk involved early and kept him going early throughout the game. So I felt that was going to be interesting and how that was going to move through. So that was a great start. Jimmy G's arm angle, it's just so frustrating. It's not like they don't try to change his arm, but he just makes at least two or three throws where you're just cringing if you're probably a 49ers fan. So, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes as we're moving forward in his career next year, because he's probably not going to be a 49er with them taking that pick on Lance. I thought Higbee going out in the first quarter was going to really hurt, but Blanton came up big. I thought it was going to affect not just their passing game, but their run game, because Higbee had, what, three big catches before he went out and got injured. I love how McVay tried to stick with the running game as long as possible, as often as possible. I felt that even though that the secondary of the 49ers was their weakness, I really just believed that if he had to stick with the run game to keep them honest, and he did it as much as he could. You know, the Rams gonna make Jimmy try to beat them, and in the end he couldn't. The Rams, McVay did his best to, you know, not make Stafford have to throw 50 freaking times. So that was a huge change of pace. So it's nice that they actually did that, and they were smart with that, and they actually kind of kept their running game going as often as possible. These were the two best front sevens in the playoffs, right here. You saw the two best front sevens in the playoffs. That's right there, which, of course, I think both of these teams would have been favored no matter who won for the Super Bowl. I do think the Rams would be favored by at least a field goal. Kind of like the home team, you know, treatment. I think that's kind of like what's going to happen there. I think they'll be favored by three. But it's quite unique. I think that what really hurt them is what I was watching is the 49ers could not create points on long drives. That hurt them in the long run. That is kind of the overall take for everything. As Jimmy G hit some throws, he hit some things. He's really good in crunch time usually. But they couldn't sustain drives. They had that 10-point lead, and it just really hurt them. You know, I know Stafford, he was on Detroit. We didn't see him in Detroit, really. You kind of wondered how good he was. But his arm talent is amazing. You know, everyone talks about Mahomes and Allen dropping sidearm, stuff like that. You know, Stafford was doing that, too, many years ago. And his arm talent was good. I wonder if he was injured on that long pick or the long throw that should have been picked. You know, you're wondering if he just couldn't step into it or something wrong with his arm. It was quite unique. You know, I also felt it was quite unique that I'm using that word unique because as I was watching this game and dissecting it, that they were trying to do so many things that were different. I know Ayuk caught a bunch of balls in that last game when the 49ers were able to come back and win. They made him really a focal point down the field and gave Debo really the ball kind of like behind the line of scrimmage and running the ball. You know, he's the true Swiss Army knife right now. And I think almost the model, if you just have the best player, just find different, so many ways to get him the ball as possible. And the familiarity that both Shanahan and McVay have for each other due to how many times they play because they're in the same division and just because they're from the same coaching tree really showed up in this game, and they really tried to mix it up or out-scheme each other, and they both, you know, were ready. They both had plays that worked against each other. They both had plays that did not work against each other. And I think it kind of just was a hit and miss depending on what was going to happen. But this game, I think, honestly, as much as I said the first game was about the players executing what the coach was setting up, like coaching mattered, this game was about players making plays. Because they know each other so well, it was the better player was going to have to make a play. I think this is the Odell Beckham kind of reminding everyone how good he is. You know, he kind of had his baggage, and we know that. But, you know, he got lost in Cleveland. Mayfield is Mayfield. know, Mayfield is not talented enough to kind of work with Odell, and I think he's really showing himself to be as valuable as he is as a number two, because Coop is the true number one, of course, but he is really showing himself as a great number two, you know, with both Cooper and Beckham having over 100 yards in this game. It's quite awesome to see them both, you know, move forward, take that step. Beckham has some great catches. He's such a true talent, and his able to move forward is quite unique. I felt the cup drop with 3:38 to go in the second quarter that should have been a TD was huge. They ended up not scoring on that drive. Gay missed the field goal attempt. I really felt the cup. He has one drop. He's lately had one drop or one play a game that it's kind of very detrimental. He had the fumble last week, which really kind of really helped Tampa Bay get back in the game. Then he had the drop this week. So, very unique. There was a lot of just animosity. I really felt that the 49ers bring that level of physicality that's so hard that if you don't step up and make basically have to play a physical sense of football, it just really raised that level of competition. They raised that intensity, and they totally raised the challenge, and they asked you to rise to that challenge. If you're not ready to match that, you are in trouble. So much in trouble. There was a key drop in 2 minutes and 22 seconds to go in the first half on the 49ers drive. I wrote down who did that, and I can't remember who wrote it, who dropped it. But there was a key drop of 2:22 to go, and that was huge because it affected the drive. Terrible notes by me, so mental note, I got to write slower. I felt that the legal hit on Debo at minute 13 to go in the first half was huge in that it knocked Debo out for the rest of the drive, and the 49ers were only able to kind of muster a field goal out of that as opposed to moving forward and getting a touchdown. And having Debo off the field on that little bit of last the drive was really, really dangerous, and I think it hurt them. So watching through, moving through the third and the fourth quarter, the stops were the key for the 49ers, but they couldn't do anything with them because basically the Rams had only scored on the last two drives. They had the ball multiple times, but the 49ers offense, going back to what I was originally saying, they couldn't generate points. They kind of have sometimes some big plays here and there, but they couldn't generate consistent points. It affected their defense because although the offense getting the ball back, it was terrible that the offense could do anything with it. You had that 10-point lead and couldn't move forward. I mean, if you actually looked at it, the Niners scored with the last 13 points of the game to win it. It went 17-7. And the Niners scored the rest to win the game. And I think there's a few other things that I marked down that were in trouble. The challenges. The challenge, of course, on the fourth down, I thought was ridiculous. Should have saved the timeout. And the challenge on the fumble with 10:01 to go in the game, I thought killed them. But I was wrong. I'll admit what I was wrong. They were... You know, maybe McVay felt that no matter what, that Jimmy G could not generate enough offense. Maybe he felt that I want the ball here. I want to have this happen here as opposed to letting the punt happen. But I just felt it was bad. It was a bad challenge on the fourth down because the spot was accurate and it was a bad challenge on the fumble. He was getting bad advice. But they were able to follow through it. I wrote down question game, like, was the game over? Question game over. The pick or the non-pick on the missed throw from Stafford with 9:47 to go in the fourth quarter, that really, I think, could have sealed the game for the Rams, because that, of course, led to the field goal drive, and then the subsequent drive for the Rams led to the other field goal to win the game. The sack on, at 1:55 to go in the game against Stafford was huge because it gave the 49ers a chance to win the game. But of course, the Rams defense came back and did it. these teams are just going to battle. The only thing is you wonder what's going to happen with Jimmy G probably not going to be on the team for us next season. It's probably going to be Trey Lance. They're going to kind of grow and build. Maybe they'll be more dynamic on offense. So we have a Super Bowl match between the Rams and the Bengals, which is so not what we expected, right? No one expected that. We thought Bills or Chiefs, possibly Rams, but I think a lot of people think Tampa Bay, Brady was going to get one last shot. So we got a huge Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks at home. So we have 2 years in a row. We have the home team hosting the Super Bowl. Quite unique. Will they go 2-0? I do believe the Rams will be favored by at least three, but the way the Bengals are playing, you can't count them out. The Rams, I don't think, against as dry as the dry spells went against the 49ers, I don't think they can have dry spells against the Bengals. But again, I also don't think that the Bengals defense is really going to be able to stop the offense. So it's going to be interesting. Donald and company get a chance at another ring. You know, of course, they lost in 2018 to Brady when McVay admitted he didn't make good adjustments. You know, even though he was had Jared Goff as his quarterback, but he admitted he didn't make good adjustments, you know, in that 13-10 game. So we will see if McVay can make those adjustments and grow as a coordinator, as a coach, and get them a chance to win that Super Bowl. So great day of football. Totally exciting. I was glued. I wish I had a bunch of other people to talk to about it on this game. I was supposed to have a guest talking to me about it during the game, but kind of fell through. So, you know, I'm just kind of just going with my reactions to what I saw, but it was quite entertaining. I hope you guys picked your right Survivor players. I picked Rams and Chiefs, so I was right in a few. Chiefs kind of let me down, but hey, it is what it is. And we will see and we will hear from 2 weeks. So have a lovely rest of your evening. You know, overall, it was a great fun day of football. Hope you guys had a chance to watch it.